Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the David Mead Podcast. Today, I spoke to Reese Martin. Reese is a great friend of mine and currently a teammate of mine in the PNG Cornwalls. I spoke to Reese over Zoom because he's currently living in England and playing in the professional competition over there. I spoke to him about his upbringing, the challenges he faced just before making his professional debut, and how he overcame those. This is a great story that Reese shares. I certainly enjoyed it, and I hope you guys do too. Alrighty, Reesey, welcome to the David Mead Podcast, mate. Be pretty proud of that achievement.
Yeah, I'm proud of you. I think it's a good initiative from you to do. You're a busy man, so thanks for having me on, bro.
Is your confidence still high from last year in that semi-final when I let you run me down? That's what I was trying to do. I was trying to give you some confidence.
Bro, I was honestly thinking about that just before, and I was hoping you're going to ask me during this, like, what's my favorite highlight?
Well, I knew you'd bring it up. So I thought I'd bring it up.
And it is definitely chasing you down.
It's good to see that. Your confidence is still high from that.
Yeah, you know, chased down a wingy on Monday again, dragged him out, no biggie. So, still yeah. Speed's still there.
I love that about you. You know, humility has always been one of your strengths. So it's good to see.
I was actually surprised that I got you, but you know, you probably got a bit scared when I was coming after you, bro.
Awful confidence. So, Reese, can you tell us a little bit about your background, where you grew up, and what that was like?
Yeah. So, background is PNG. Half PNG, half Aussie. Dad was born in Port Moresby. Grew up there with his brothers and sisters up and on the hill there in Moresby. And then he moved over to Australia when he was probably 18 or 19, he said. And that's when he met my mum. She was living in Cairns at that time. But my mum was born in Mackay, North Queensland. And then, anyway, they met in Cairns and then got married, had a family, and I was born in Cairns. Got three older brothers. And when she split up with my dad, when I was probably like four, she remarried and then had another boy. So I got four brothers. And, I lived in Cairns till I was four, until mum remarried. And then I moved down to Airlie Beach, Proserpine, and that's pretty much where I grew up. Did all my primary school. That's where I started playing footy. I started at five. I remember I was still going to kindergarten and just wanted to go play footy because all my brothers were playing and were training at the school. And I remember my first ever training session too, which is strange because you don't really remember things when you're that young. But I started playing footy for the Proserpine Brahmins. I played for them until I think it was under 14s, and then they play in the Mackay district comp. So we traveled to Mackay, which is like an hour and a half every weekend, to play in that comp. And then, I moved to Townsville when I was 15, went to Kirwan High, which is quite a big rugby league school in Queensland. A lot of great players have played and gone through that school. You know, most recent, like I went to school with Jason Tamalolo. He's probably one of the biggest players to ever come out of the school. I signed my last year of high school. I made Queensland and ended up getting a contract for the Roosters, and I signed for them for under 20s and moved to Sydney straight out of school. Played there for 4 years, I think, until I was 21.
Yeah.
And then I moved back to Townsville to play for the Blackhawks for 2 years, and then I got picked up by the Bulldogs again, and then that's where I made my NRL debut. And it was pretty much when I went full NRL kind of at that time. Like when I was at the Roosters, I was like training full time, but I wasn't really anywhere close to making an NRL debut, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And then I played 2.5 years at the Dogs, and then left halfway through 2019 and moved over to England, and I signed for the Rhinos. And pretty much straight to 2 years of flying by. I literally just sat in my house for 2 years and played Super League, and that's pretty much the background of my upbringing and where I've moved around a fair bit. And,
You know, you pretty much just summed up the whole podcast about what I want to speak about. So the podcast is over now.
But, I'm going to go now.
I did want to just know about your childhood, but, you know.
To know about everything.
No. But I was happy to hear it. I'm sure everyone else is too. but we'll dig into more of, the process of how you got through school rugby league and NRL. We'll get there a little bit later because I want to talk bit more in depth about that. But what are some of your earlier memories? You know, what did a typical day look like for you when you were 5-6 years old, living with your brothers? I'm sure it was a lot of fun with them.
Yeah, well, when mum split with dad, my two oldest brothers, they stayed with dad, and then Tyson. You know, Tice, he moved with mum, and then, me and him used to get in the big punch up, so big fights. Poor mum would stress out, but just memories. We lived on in this house, it was right on the beach in the it was called Hideaway Bay. It was an awesome house. And we had this pool, massive pool, it was kind of on a hill. And our driveway was probably, I don't know, 50 meters long. And my favorite thing to do in that house, I had this truck, and it was just a toy truck, and it was plastic, but it had like a trailer that you could connect to it. And then I was like small enough that I could sit on the trailer, and I'd get on the truck at the top of the driveway, and I'd go as fast as I could down this hill, and I'd at the bottom of the driveway, like turned, and I'd like try and drift as much, like as fast as I could around the thing. And I'd do that all day, just run up and down. And I'd just keep getting on my truck and just doing that. And then we had the beach right there. That was mad. Always went fishing, with Tyson a lot. There was an island that we always used to cross, over at night. And when the tide was up, there's all like baby sharks and that swimming around your feet, and you'd cross over. And I was only tiny, so I thought it was really deep, but I'd hold my fishing rod over my head and I'd walk through the water, and we'd go fishing for the night. We did lots. We had to get on the bus for an hour to get to school. But it was
probably every day.
One of the Yeah, every day. Yeah, we'd get on the bus. The bus would pick us up at the front of our house, and we'd get on that and, yeah, go into school for the day and then
be solid with
footy training. Yeah, it was probably, yeah, it was an hour, like, obviously, with all, like, picking everyone up and on the way in. But, yeah, we'd be, like, the first kids on the bus. There'd only be, my family. So it'd be me, Tyson, my stepbrothers and sister, and then one other or two other kids that lived out there that would get on the bus with us. And then by the time we got in, the bus would be full. And then, a lot of the times after school, we had training and that. So we would never get on the bus. We'd have to get, like, mum to take us home. So, it was actually, remembering back, it was such a mad spot to live.
Yeah. Sounds like pretty good memories. If you don't mind sharing it, you mentioned your parents splitting up when you were four. Do you remember it? Yeah. Or
not really. All I remember was just one day just being like, getting told that we're moving, and then was at someone else's house, and I remember I would run away. Mum said I would always run away. And because I was quick, she couldn't get.
Yeah, that's how you went speed.
Yeah.
Did it affect you and your brothers much, or you just kind of just cruise through life?
Yeah, we just kind of cruise through life. Like, for me, I didn't really know any different, any better. The two of my oldest brothers were at that age where they knew, they were already going through school and had their friends and all that. So they didn't want to leave that. So they stayed with Dad. When me and Tyson were still quite young, I think Tyson would have been 8. So we're too young to kind of really know any different. So we went with Mum. But yeah, honestly, I don't think it affected me in any way.
Yeah.
I was always in, like, a stable house and always had food on my plate and, was really looked after. So I was grateful for that.
Yeah. Do you remember any values your mum talking to you about or teaching you less? I'm sure she taught you a lot. Is there any that you...
Yeah, just being polite and a nice person. Being someone there for other people and hard work, because she had her own company. They had a jewelry shop that they owned, and they had to work really hard to keep that going. We lived in it was a very small town, Proserpine, where they had the shop. So they had to work really hard, because we had, I think there were 7 of us in the house at that point. Just hard work and being a nice person.
I think it certainly shows. I know we have a lot of banter and we pay each other out a lot, but, I can see she definitely did a good job.
Thanks, bro. Yeah.
Don't worry,
are you,
mate,
taking the piss?
No, I'm serious. Hard. I wouldn't tell you when we're around the teammates, but in front of everyone else, I'll let you know. Have you got family that live in PNG still?
Yeah, so I got I wouldn't say distant family. It's just, like, aunties and uncles, but they're my first cousins. They live in Moresby still. I think they live just down the, two houses down from where Dad grew up.
Yeah, so you catch up with them whenever we play games there? You see them much?
Yeah. Every time I go back, I see them now. First couple times I went over, we weren't in Moresby, but when we started having those camps there for all the whatever games we had on, I'd always catch up with them.
Let's talk a little bit about how did you go at school? Were you teacher's pet? Did you score well in school? Did you find it hard or easy?
I passed. I wouldn't say I was great. I loved school. We had all the boys, we had a great group. we'd always have parties and go fishing and do all that, all the high school stuff. But yeah, one memory from high school where I was probably at that age where I was probably, you know, it could have gone bad or been good. I was wagging class one day, and our trainer, so a gym coach, caught me, and that I shit myself, and I was like, no, I'm not wagging class anymore. So I just, you know, went to all my classes, did as best as I could. I struggled with English and history and all that. I enjoy history, but I just struggled with that side of it.
If you had some advice for kids who are struggling at school in PNG.
I think just asking for help, really. I was always probably too proud or embarrassed to ask for help when you actually needed it.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about it a bit later on as well when we get to the footy side of things. But for me, where I am now, like looking back, I just wish I did ask for help more often. And I really focus heavy on playing footy. And, you know, I always wanted to have like
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
And to fall back on, but studying was never something I wanted to, you know, fall back onto. But yeah, I think just asking for help when you need it, that's the biggest thing.
That's some of the advice that I'd give as well, but sometimes it's easier said than done. Is there any tips on how you can make it a bit easier for yourself to gain a bit of courage to go and ask the teacher for help? Because it's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, well, again, I don't think, like, you don't have to always ask a teacher for help. You can, you know, if you got friends or anything that you're studying with or you know that are doing really well in school, if you don't feel comfortable talking to the teacher, then maybe if you feel a bit more comfortable talking to, you know, a classmate or whatever, that, you know, that would help. But parents, brothers, sisters, anyway, just try and find a little bubble that you feel comfortable to ask.
I think that's great advice.
Yeah, is it?
With rugby league, what age did you realise that you wanted to play rugby league professionally?
Oh, it would have been early, really early, probably like 8, 7, 8.
Was there any reason that made you feel like that? Is it from watching NRL or?
Yeah, it was definitely from watching NRL. I remember, I don't know what year the Knights won the grand final, but I remember that. And I went to the shop and I bought a Newcastle Knights football, and I was running around in the backyard. And especially, obviously, the Cowboys weren't doing too great, and not going for the Cowboys in North Queensland was a strange thing. But yeah, I was bandwagon straight after Newcastle won the grand final and bought a Newcastle Knights ball. And I remember just running around in the backyard. We would always have backyard footy games. That's probably one of the biggest memories, is going to buy that footy in and just kicking it around in the backyard and just playing all the backyard footy games with it. And then it gets that old that it, you know how the grip ball goes and it gets all slippery and it starts to peel off. And yeah, I punished that ball after I bought it.
You loved your footy.
Yeah.
when did you start? Because I'm sure most blokes I speak to, you know, at training, and they're like, what age they started training, especially the extras on their own growing up.
Yeah.
I remember I used to do my own training when I was about 13, 14, outside of the team environment. What age did you start doing that?
Probably about the same age, to be honest. So I was doing a lot of road runs. My older brother was actually doing a fair bit at that time, and he got quite fit just going on runs, and then he'd take me with him, and I'd try and keep up with him. But that was when iPods come out.
Yeah.
And I begged mum for an iPod, and it was just so I could go for road runs, and I started doing that. But I played a lot of backyard footy as well. And then when I moved to Townsville and went to Cowan, it was always like full gym programs and all that when I went there. So I was like, we were doing quite intense training when I was 15. So I think when I moved to Townsville, really intensified my training.
Besides road runs, is there any other type of training you're doing? Because I get a lot of questions from kids on like Instagram, Facebook. Hey, can you send me a training program? You know, what did you do to help you make the NRL? Obviously, you know, we get a lot of help from our trainers. I used to enjoy going down to the field and just doing sprints. I spoke to AJ the other day, and you know, he said he used to love going down to the field and just doing sprints, kicking the goals. Was there anything you liked doing? Anything you enjoyed?
No, not in particular, bro, to be honest. I did those runs, and then if my brothers and that were training at home, I'd just kind of jump in with them, did a bit of boxing here and there. I might have been lazy now that you guys are saying you did all these things. But yeah, I was too busy riding my bike around looking for fishing spots. And they're probably the only memories I got. We had like the boxing bags and the boxing ring under our house. Just, you know, those old Queenslanders, and they got the pillars under the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to would tie a rope around them and make a boxing ring. We'd shadow box under there. We had the speed ball, the rubber with the band, the rubber one. I never really went to the park and did full like rugby league training.
Yeah, but your brothers helped you with different types of training.
Definitely. Yeah. When they were doing their trainings at home, and I would jump in and you know, have a go with them.
Oh, nice.
Does that help you at all?
Trust me a lot, mate.
I was a lazy kid. Cut this out. I was a lazy kid.
We might leave that in.
At all.
Let's talk a little bit about how you started to progress into the NRL. What age did you get a contract, or you know, one of those train and trial contracts with NRL or a Queensland Cup team?
Yeah. So when I moved to the Roosters in under 20s, I was playing there. I got to my last year or my second last. So I was, when I was 19, I re-signed at the Roosters. And that was for an extra year on the end of my contract for full time NRL. So yeah, when I was 19, I signed a new contract. So I still had a year left on it, but we renewed it, and I had an extra 2 years. So I had another year of under 20s where I was playing 20s but training full time, and then I had a year after that, and I was just training my NRL squad, just trying to make it. So I was 19 when I got that.
And how'd you find training with the NRL squad for the first time? Was it easy for you? Was it hard?
No, I was, I think, you know, you look at that age, you look up to all the NRL players a lot. And I was really nervous. You know, I didn't want to offend anyone, didn't want to do that. And looking back, I probably should have just, you know, not given a shit and just, you know, gave it a really, really good crack. And that's, looking back now, I probably would have debuted a lot sooner than I did, because I had respect for those guys that were playing NRL that I didn't want to, you know, put myself too far out there. I don't know if you've come across younger players that are kind of like that, but
too timid.
You get, yeah, a bit, yeah, timid.
Yeah, I see them every year.
And then you got young players that don't care, that just give it a red crack, and they get the respect they deserve from the players.
Yeah.
And that's probably, you know, advice I give a lot of younger players, is that, you know, us older boys don't care if you, you know, you come and give us a crack, or, you know, you try and, you know, bend, like, fold us and, like, attack or defense, you know, if you're running hard or tackling hard, we don't get upset by that. But if you're going half-hearted and being timid in that, you don't really get what the respect you deserve. That's how I was when I first started training NRL. And took me, you know, a couple of years to mature and realize what I needed to do.
I find it every single year, younger kids who are a bit more timid, their chance of playing first grade seems to be a lot slimmer than the guys who are coming through and just having a 100% crack, you know, not really caring. They still got respect for older players, but they're just there to have a go, you know. There's a couple there now that I play with, and, you know, you love playing with those guys because you know they're having a crack.
100%, bro. Like, if I could change one thing, it would be that in my career. And I reckon it would have, yeah, would have changed where I started, instead of, you know, I had to take a backward step, you know, after I finished at the Roosters. I had to go back to Q Cup to really understand myself in a way, but I had to work hard to get back to where I wanted to, and I had to, you know, put myself in positions I didn't feel comfortable. But now, like, I don't really care, or I'm not fazed by it now, because I know what I need to do. Yeah. But if I knew that what I know now, back then I probably would have debuted a lot earlier than 25 when I did.
Let's talk a little bit about the Kumuls. Do you remember the first phone call that you got, that you know, that you were told you're going to play for the Kumuls? Do you remember that moment?
Yeah, I do. I was I lived in a unit across the road from the Roosters Stadium. I was planning on going home for holidays, and Mel Meninga was the coach at that time, and I got the call. That I needed to, in a week's time, I'm going to have to go over to PNG to play in a test. But at that time, there wasn't many, like, Aussie players, like, as there is now. Like, there was a lot of the Hunters boys, the PNG boys there, and I was the only one from Australia that year to go over and play. And we'd had camp in Kokopo, which was awesome. I think who's still playing now? Like, this when Willie Minoga, Watson Asse, all those boys, you know, that started playing with the Hunters. And we had camp in Kokopo where they had where they lived, playing for that season, playing for the Hunters. But yeah, I was living in that unit across the road from the stadium, and I remember getting a phone call one day when I was just chilling in the house getting ready to go home.
Yeah, how did it feel when you were told you're going to play for the Kumuls?
I was nervous, just unsure, because I didn't know anyone in the team at that time. It was a weird feeling, because it was like going to school for the first time. Yeah, just those nerves where you're just unsure with what's going to happen. You don't know anyone. You're flying into a country you've never been to at that time. And yeah, it was an experience. I remember I didn't know because when I flew into Port Moresby, I had to change to a domestic flight to fly to Kokopo. And I had to walk out of the international down and then into the domestic, and I had no idea where I was going. Couldn't speak pidgin, didn't know anything. And yeah, it was a great experience. I look back at that now that we're talking about it, and it's like such a good feeling. But I'm so happy that I took it and went, because it's probably one of the best camps I've been on. It wasn't like staying in those big hotels. It was like just where the boys lived, and they had to kind of fend for themselves a bit, get their own food and all that at that time. And yeah, we were going to get potatoes from the markets, and we were making fish and chips, and it was mad. Like, we were just getting the fish off the fishermen, going to buy our potatoes, making it up at the place we're staying. It was just, yeah, such a good camp, that one.
Is there one proud moment that stands out for you wearing the PNG jersey?
Bro, every time we get to play over in PNG is always a proud moment. I don't know what it is. It's just the energy that you get from everyone there, everyone in the crowd, everyone that comes to watch, the whole country. The energy that you get is, I don't know if you feel it, but yeah, I just feel bigger than I actually am. But
I know exactly the same feeling.
Every time, there's not one moment. I think every time I get to play in PNG, especially, is probably, it is always an experience. There's always something new that happens every game.
Yeah, some great memories, that's for sure.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
In your personal life, is there a proud moment that stands out for you the most?
Yeah, well, obviously having my first child is one of the biggest and proudest moments. How you create something like that is really, really special. And I think for me, when I was going through that period when I was leaving the Roosters, going back to Q Cup, for me to stick at it, and believe that I was good enough to get there and not giving up and working hard to get back into an NRL team and then making my debut was, I think not giving up when I could have, if you know what I mean. And just chase my dream.
It's an interesting part of footy, because a lot of guys, they get so close to making their NRL debut, or get, they're in the squad, and then they've got all the talent in the world. But it just shows, if you stick at it, you work hard, put all your training in, focus 100%, something special can happen. If you decided to go the other way, you probably wouldn't have, end up playing NRL or Super League?
Well, I had a lot of reasons to not keep going because I moved back home. I was comfortable. I had all my mates around and, you know, I didn't have to chase the dream. I could have kept doing what I was doing. But, you know, I would have never forgave myself if I was to give up. And I do remember telling myself that, like, I want to play NRL. I'm going to give it everything I got.
Nice, mate. Proud of you. Tough. It's working out pretty well.
It's been pretty good since it's been really good since I debuted and been playing consistently at this level now. But yeah, like it was hard when I was working full time and training and, you know, away traveling every second week to play games in Brisbane. And it does get tough, but if you got your goals set and do anything to achieve them.
Gives me goosebumps when I hear stories like that, guys who never give up and keep going after what they want. Let's move on to a few rapid fire questions, I call them. It's a set of questions that I got off another podcast idea. So I'm borrowing them just for a little bit of fun. Do you have any favorite music or a favorite artist?
Yeah. Luke Combs, Country.
Okay, I don't know who that is.
You know Luke Combs?
No, I don't know who that is.
You don't know who Luke Combs is? When it rains, it pours.
No, it doesn't sound familiar.
Yeah, bro, I smash him.
Have you got a favorite meal?
Go. Yeah, I do at the moment. Chicken wings. Is it like favorite meal like ever or just what you're feeling at the moment?
Mate. You're Reece Martin. You can say whatever you want.
Blue Sakura. You know Blue Sakura? The sushi joint in Leeds. All you can eat.
No.
Bro, when you were here, I should have taken you. and there's a place that does chicken wings. It's not like deep fried chicken wings, but it's like grilled with, is it like Caribbean? But they're like grilled chicken wings with like a nice sweet sauce on it. It's good.
All right, all right.
Proper good.
Well, you just described it. I probably wouldn't eat it, but anyway. have you got a favorite PNG dish?
Woolly beef and rice, bro.
Yeah, that's got to be up there. We've got to advise people to eat healthy over there.
Yeah, you can't recreate it anywhere else other than PNG. I've tried here; it doesn't taste the same.
Yeah, I like it.
Never tastes the same. And this isn't a healthy option, but lamb flaps.
Yeah, they are delicious. But once a month, they need two of them. Have you tried beetle nut?
Yeah, bro. Not for me.
Yeah,
not for me. I did it after we played Tonga in 2014 in Lae. Bro, instant headache. Made me feel sick. I was like, fuck. What am I doing?
Do you remember your first job?
Yeah, I was 13, I think, 12 or 13. I was a car detailer. Used to clean cars at this, it was a Ford shop. My coach at the time was the boss. I think he actually owned it, to be honest. He, owned the car shop. And I was just shopping at Woolworths one day with mum, and then he had one of his cars on show at the front of Woolworths, and we just got talking, and I was just like, oh, I could do with a job. And he goes, oh, come into the shop on Monday, I've got a job for you. And then I turned up, and yeah, I was washing cars for 10 bucks an hour, I think.
That's all cash.
Yeah, and I remember I was saving it up in my room, and I went and bought a fishing rod with it.
What's your favorite holiday or tourist destination in Europe?
Croatia, because it was the only place I got to really go to before we went into lockdown. Croatia is unbelievable.
When we were living in France, we had friends go there all the time, and they love that place.
So Ness went on like a hen's party, and she went to Croatia, and her captain on the boat she was on, I met up with him when I went there, and he took me to all like the best restaurants and a few of the bars too. But
sounds like it was good fun.
And all like the nice places around Croatia, so it was really good.
Do you have any morning rituals or game day rituals, routines?
Yeah, I try. So this year I tried not to. So if things didn't go to plan, I wasn't rattled. If you know what I mean.
You got four things you got to do. One of those four things you don't want it to affect your performance.
So I'd always make sure I'd go to breakfast, have avo eggs on toast. That was always my morning feed before the game. Night before was pasta. Spaghetti bolognese. I always had to have that. And then during the day, I started to walk the dog, and that would become a ritual when I was in Australia. But when I come here, because it's bloody either raining or snowing or windy, I still walk in, but I don't make it as a ritual now. I try... They were my rituals, bro. I try not to anymore. I try to stay flexible because too many things change. And then if you can't do it, then you get rattled.
You get to kick off and you're like, damn it, I didn't walk my dog today. If I missed that tackle, it's because I didn't walk the dog.
I walked in the day I chased you down. Maybe I should start. this year I've just literally gone, because so many things are out of our control now with COVID and all that I try not to have a ritual where I'm just chilled, relaxed, just do what I feel like.
Yeah.
And then just go with the flow, because when one of those things didn't happen throughout the day, then they'd always be in the back of my mind. And you don't need that. You don't need the stress.
Yep.
Might as well just go with the flow and just enjoy yourself.
Yeah, 100%. I feel you. That's one of my game day rituals. Now just stay as relaxed as I can throughout the day rather than having four or five.
Do you have rituals?
Yeah, it used to be... stay at home, go have coffee in the morning out at a restaurant.
Yeah.
Come back home, watch a movie. After the movie, I've got to have a nap.
Then you have to have a sleep.
Yeah, I have to have a nap at least, 30 to 45 minutes. And sometimes
if you don't? Well, that'll rattle you away if you don't have a sleep.
Well, yeah, sometimes I'd get to a game and like, man, I should have a sleep. I feel I'm feeling a bit tired, you know? But then, like, by the time kickoff goes, you're just like, you forget about all that stuff. And then when it's full time and you win or lose, you're just like, was my preparation on point today? And they say, it's just about relaxing as much as I can.
Yeah. So I do all like this normal thing, like things you do, like getting hydrated, make sure I'm drinking water. I always have like a Powerade throughout the day and like get on the foam roller, have a bit of a stretch. I do little things like that, but I don't have set times for it. Just go with the flow, bro.
Go with the flow. Good advice. As long as you've done your prep all week, you trained hard, ate well, had a good sleep on game day. I just like to relax now.
Yeah. That's true. I think if I have a guilty week, that plays in my mind. You know what I mean? Yeah. If I haven't eaten as well as I should have, that plays in my mind.
Yeah.
That's probably the only time.
If you could say one thing to a 13-year-old you, what would it be?
This is totally away from rugby league, but now it's random as learn how to invest, bro.
That's not bad advice.
Learn how to invest. You learn how to use your money wisely.
Yeah. You know what? I actually think that's a pretty good advice to give 13-year-olds, because now there's books out there for kids that they can read and understand, at least, you know, concepts about money and, you know, how to manage it well. I wish I started that at 13, so I think that's pretty good advice.
I think, yeah. I was talking to one of the boys yesterday, and we were talking about how we get told, you know, saving your money is good. Saving your money, save your money. But learning how to invest your money and make it work for you is what we all should be taught when we're growing up.
I like that.
Yeah.
So before we wrap this podcast up, any final words?
There is. There was I said I was going to talk about it later on to you earlier on, was at the start of this year, I had a really, you know, poor start to my, I was playing shit house really, sorry, can I say that?
All right.
And there was a lot of pressure on me to perform. We weren't winning games. And I just had a lot of stress on me that I didn't realize I had. There's a lot of things that were building up, you know, home life, footy, you know, being in lockdown for one, like not being able to do anything, or I had no hobbies or anything. But I realized, you know, that I was struggling, but I reached out for help. I was just brutally honest with myself, and it's probably one of the things I'll look back on later on, is just being open with how I was actually feeling and not being afraid to ask for help. I was talking to, you know, my coach. You know, they're not always the one to talk to. I was talking to our welfare manager. You know, he helps with all your mental health, and he recommended me onto a sports psychologist. And then I sat down with him. I caught up with him once a week just to talk about anything, to get it off my chest. You know, there were no bad thoughts, but there was just pressure to perform. And I was really struggling. And yeah, it was just, for me, just being able to reach out to someone and talk to someone about it really helped me. And now I've gone past that now, and I'm starting to get back onto the other side where I'm confident about my game again and all that. So, yeah, that was one thing, you know, I want to promote, is just, you know, recognizing if you're not doing okay, or, you know, sometimes you don't realize it, but just to let someone know, really, bro. You know, anyone. So, and just get it off your chest, talk about anything. Don't feel like you're whinging, which I thought I was.
100%, man. I agree with you. Because I had a chat to Adam Walsh, who's the welfare officer at the Broncos now. And he was on this podcast, actually. And the first thing he spoke about was things that he's ashamed of. You know, he's saying, you know, bringing out your vulnerabilities and sharing sometimes what you're embarrassed to share or what you're too proud to share. if you just take that mask off and reveal that you need help with something, it can certainly help you. And that's what helped him. And he's a former SAS soldier, you know, the top dogs in the army. So that's advice coming from him. So I think it's great that you've just shared that, mate. And I think it's a sign of a man who's strong, you know, to be able to share those feelings rather than seen as a weakness. Yeah. So I think that's certainly a stigma that we need to remove.
Yeah, I think, that stigma, but I think the feeling after it, you're so proud. You're proud of yourself for doing it, you know, instead of just bottling it all up. Edit that, please.
Hey, we're gonna leave that on.
the feeling now that I look back, like, I'm just relieved that I did it, because I'm in a better spot than I was a couple of weeks ago. You know what I mean? So, like, for me, I feel just the relief of getting it off my chest and figuring out what I need to do next.
Reece, mate, I think that's a great way to finish off this podcast. You know, some great advice like that. I think many people, much more than we realize, I think, need this type of help. So I appreciate you taking the time to get on this podcast and sharing your story. Thanks, Reece. It's been a great chat. I hope you enjoyed it.
Thank you,
brother. Everyone else will too.
Yeah, it's good. I hope I didn't talk too much about other random shit, but no, it's been good, bro. Yeah. Cheers, mate.
Thanks, Reece. Cheers, lad.
If you've enjoyed this episode, then I'd love if you would hit that subscribe button, leave a comment or a review, and share it with anyone you think might enjoy it as well. For more behind-the-scenes content, head to my Instagram at davidmead411 and feel free to slide into my DMs if there's anyone you would love to hear from. I can't wait to bring you another episode next week, and thanks for listening to the David Mead Podcast.